Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, we are turning our attention on this Friday to perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached.
Absolutely. Greatest sermon by the greatest preacher. The Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in this little mini-series. And we've kind of titled this, Two Preachers Look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jason and I have both spent decades preaching the Word of God. There's a little art to writing a sermon. Those who have never done it just see the end product, but there's a lot of going behind that. And when you have that background and you look at this sermon, it just is interesting to see how the Lord delivered this sermon. This sermon, although it takes three large chapters in the book of Matthew, is really a short sermon. In our very first podcast, at the end, Jason read the entire sermon, and it took about 17 minutes, which today we'd consider a very short sermon. Multiple topics talked about. Things from how we treat others, how we look at ourselves, some of the religious practices that we're doing. But in there's some running themes that tie all three of these chapters and gives us one big picture to look at. The authority of Jesus is really clear in this passage. Jesus is the Lord. And he would use his authority by declaring, I say unto you. He wouldn't quote some old rabbi, but refer to himself. We see the idea of what righteousness is, how important righteousness is, and that pulls out of all three of these chapters. And when you kind of take a step back, if you had to put a title on this Sermon on the Mount, you know, what would you call this if we wrote this today? This is really what kingdom disciples look like. This is what a disciple is supposed to look like. It shows our relationship toward others, our relationship toward God, and our relationship toward ourselves. And within that, the Lord just covers lots of little subjects. And today, we thought we'd focus on Matthew chapter 5, the first chapter as the Lord gives us. And again, lots of things in here from the Beatitudes as this begins with. He talks about such things as you have heard, now I say to you, and influence. But we want to pull out two or three themes out of this as we kind of look at this as a whole and to give us some good thoughts about what Jesus said in this wonderful sermon.
I think it's easy for us to take for granted how powerful good news would have been to these people living in Galilee 2,000 years ago. You think about what it meant to live under the thumb of the Roman Empire. You think about the known hypocrisy and corruption that was prevalent in Jerusalem among their leaders. And here is this ordinary looking man able to do extraordinary things. And he opens that sermon by saying over and over again, blessed, blessed, truly happy are. And as you've mentioned, he opens the door to an unexpected kingdom that anyone could be a part of if they recognized their need for him.
And what's interesting in those Beatitudes is as he uses the word blessed at the beginning of every one of those statements, what follows is almost a contradictory thought in our mind. He begins, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, we would think, blessed are the rich.
Yeah.
Blessed are those who are happy. But the poor in spirit is not about your bank account. It's about your relationship with God. Here's someone who realizes he's not right with God, and he's going to get right with God. Blessed are those who mourn. Again, that seems like an opposite. We would think, blessed are those who are going to a party. Blessed are those who are happy. Now, mourn here has nothing to do with cemeteries, nothing to do with funeral homes. It has to do with one who realizes he's bankrupt with God, and he's mourning over his condition. That's going to lead him to changing his life. Blessed are the gentle. Again, the idea of being meek. The world would say, blessed are the strong, the powerful, the mighty, the famous. But that's not how Jesus paints this picture. And all through this, what we see is character and spiritual. That's what's driving this from the very beginning to the very end of this sermon.
I think it would have been surprising to those people then, and it is most certainly countercultural in 2020. We would say blessed are those who assert themselves, who are confident in themselves. Blessed are those who are always happy, who know exactly what's going to happen today, and they're in complete control of their circumstances, and they've got the biggest personality in the room. And Jesus is showing us in this sermon, as he does throughout his ministry, the way up is down. The greatest is the servant, the one who recognizes his need for a master.
And that leads us to one of our first takeaways from chapter 5. The Beatitudes teach this, but it's going to trickle on down here throughout this chapter, and that is, to the Lord, the inside matters as much as the outside. And boy, our culture gets that wrong today. A culture is all about image and look good and drive the nice car and live in the big house and make a name for yourself. But inside, there's no purpose, there's no character, there's no heart. Jesus is showing us that the insides are just as important as the outside. That's brought out in those Beatitudes. That's what the Beatitudes are about. They're about spiritual qualities in someone's life. But later on throughout this, he would continue this. He would say, for instance, in verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. There's the inside. And boy, isn't that something that our society needs to hear today? Well, you know, I didn't do anything. I didn't throw a brick. I didn't throw a punch. But boy, am I angry on it. No, the insides matter as much as the outsides.
We live in a hateful culture, and a culture where even today you see disciples of Jesus spewing the hate that they hear and soak in from others who have their minds very much set on the things of this world. And to your point, I think Jesus has this keen way of showing over and over and over again, we need to talk not just about your behavior. Following me is not simply about behavior modification. It's about addressing what's percolating down in your heart.
They're in the heart leads to our words. In our heart leads to our behavior, our actions. So if you change the outside but you don't change the inside, you really haven't changed the person.
He would describe it as a beautiful casket full of dead bones.
Right? Absolutely. And so to change the inside is to change the outside. Now, this carries on in verse 27 of chapter 5. You've heard that was said, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, inside to outside. I've been faithful to my wife. Well, have you? Have you? What's your thoughts been? And see, that's what Jesus is driving at there. He would again say that in verse 33. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, or you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. Be truthful. If you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. And you don't have to swear on a stack of Bibles, I swear my mama's grave. Don't be doing that stuff. Be on the inside what you are on the outside.
Not just on the outside having a certain reputation, but the inside being a true person of integrity, right? That I'm going to do what I have said that I was going to do, whether I have a good reason or not. I'm going to be a person of my word because that's the right thing to do. He goes on. You can continue there the next few verses.
Well, he would say in verse 38, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. And again, there's that idea of the inside and the outside. And as we said in our first lesson as we began this series, so many of these principles are going to be expanded upon throughout the New Testament, even in the teachings of Jesus. And as he would talk to those Pharisees later on in Matthew 23, on the outside, they looked wonderful. They looked like a washed cup, or they looked like a white tomb. But on the inside, they were corrupt and evil and not doing what they should have been doing. So our insides are just as important as our outsides.
Even in the way we treat our enemies, right? That's that last little chunk in chapter 5. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, you want to talk about something that was amplified throughout Jesus' life, all the way to his final breaths on the cross. That's it, right? And I think one of the keys is that last verse of chapter 5. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not perfect in the sense that I've never made a mistake, I never will, I've never sinned, never been out of bounds. That's the whole reason that Jesus walked among us, right? But as I understand it, what Jesus is talking about is being complete, being healthy, being morally whole. That's our Father. He is holy, untainted by all of the things that plague us in this world. And he is showing us how not simply to be religious on the outside, but whole and healthy on the inside.
Now that leads us to another principle we see running through this Matthew chapter 5 here, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount here. As Jason just said, you shall love your enemies. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Another theme in here is how people see us. I mean, he said that very early in this sermon when he talked about you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So not only is he talking about the righteousness that we got to have inside, but this righteousness is going to come to the outside, and this righteousness is going to be noticed by others. Others are going to see. They're going to see us worshiping God. They're going to see how we hold our tongue. They're going to see how we are gentle and kind toward others. They're going to see us being in a prayerful mood and helping other people, the insides and the outsides, and now we are noticed by others.
When we're noticed, we're reflecting someone else's light, right? I love verses 14 and 15 and 16. You are the light of the world. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You put it on a stand so that it will give light to all in the house. God intends for us to shine. Now, Lord willing, next Friday we'll talk about how easy it is to get the insides skewed where, okay, I'm going to shine. I'm going to display righteousness in order to draw attention to myself. Jesus says, not so fast, in Matthew chapter 6. It's not about drawing attention to yourself. In fact, it's about reflecting God's light into this world that so desperately needs light. God, the Father who is in heaven, is the light. We serve him. We work for him so that other people might see this person has found something. This person knows something that I don't know. They're enjoying something that I don't have. And I want to know more than that. That opens, or more about that, that opens the door to tell them about the glory of my Father who's in heaven.
And what's powerful about those two statements, 13 and 14, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, you are. He doesn't say you need to be, you need to grow to that position. I want you to be, but you are. And what's shown in that is all disciples of Jesus are to reflect that light of God. We sometimes have a double standard, and we shouldn't, but the preacher's kids, and we expect them to be a certain behavior, but I don't have to be because I'm not the preacher. The preacher's supposed to do this, but I don't have, that may work in church politics, but it doesn't fly with God. And we need to see the idea here that people are going to notice. And what they're going to notice should be a reflection upon what we're doing and how it brings things to God.
In 2020, people are going to notice perhaps most starkly on social media, right? Where, they might see me every once in a while at the grocery store or out for a walk with my wife, but they're going to see my digital footprint. They're going to hear the echoes of what I'm putting out on social media. Maybe a whole lot more than they hear words come out of my mouth. You're talking about double standards. I think tragically sometimes we slip into this idea that, well, I need to really be careful and behave myself in person. But, if I'm just sitting in my basement and typing some things with my thumbs or sharing something that I saw and just passing that along on social media, somehow that's different. No, I am to be the salt of the earth all the time, in person, online. I am to be the light of the world all the time, in all my interactions. That's something worth thinking about as we head into this weekend.
And just a tip, if you can't say the word, then don't pass it on to others. I get so many people sending me stuff on Facebook, and some of it's really funny. And you want to pass it on, share it, but you read the rest of the story, and there's a bad word in there, or there's an inappropriate picture connected with it, or there's some things in there that's just not right. Well, if I'd be uncomfortable saying that myself, why in the world would I pass that on? And that's just something for you to think about as we consider this, that when you share something, now maybe I didn't write it. I'm not the originator of this. I'm just passing this on down the road. But if it's not God approved, stop it.
As you share it, your name is attached to it. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, the name of Jesus is attached to it.
That's it. It's kind of like gossip. Gossip stops when you decide I'm not going to extend this anymore. It's kind of like a chain letter. I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to send it on anymore. And you have to have that discretion. You have to have that righteousness within you. Say, this just isn't decent. So I'm just not going to pass it on anymore and be with that. Well, a third theme, and there's lots of themes in this fifth chapter, but one of the obvious themes that you just cannot miss is the authority of Jesus Christ. And, for the audience here in this sermon, what he was declaring right before them is that he is God. And they weren't listening to yet another Jewish rabbi. They were not just listening to one of hundreds of thousands of teachers that's been there through the centuries, but God from heaven was among them. And that's demonstrated in this very section we just mentioned. When he would say, for instance, in 21, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to court. But I say to you, I am the authority. I am setting the rules. I am God on earth.
And if that was true, we certainly believe that it was. If his grave is empty, if he ascended to the heavens, if he now sits at the right hand of the Father, then that authority has not changed, right? These words were spoken a long time ago, but all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him, which means even in 2020, as you and I go back and we read Matthew chapter 5, we are under his authority just as surely as if we had been sitting on that mountainside.
And so what that means and what that trickles down to is this idea that, I got to go to church or else the people at church will get after me. No. I got to give or else I'll get in trouble at church. No, I got to be nice because no, it has nothing to do with the church. It's about God. Is he the Lord or is he not? Have you made him the Lord of your life? Are you following him? And so when he says, I say to you, he's declaring that this is the way it has to be because he is God on earth.
One of the things that comes through loud and clear to me in Matthew chapter 5 is, I need a Savior. I need help. And that is one of just the most amazing things about Jesus as we head into this weekend. He was not just the master teacher. He was not just a miracle worker, not just someone speaking with authority. He came as the Lamb of God. And I think especially those Beatitudes have a way of teaching us from the very beginning, blessed are those who realize just how much we need this one who spoke with such authority.
And when you look at this section that we've been talking about here, where he quotes the old rabbis or quotes the law and then says, I say to you, what would the world look like? What did it look like before Jesus came? Oh, they weren't committing murder, but they were hating each other. They were not committing adultery, but they were lusting after each other. They were making false vows. They were not thinking about those who did not like them. And so it was just a messy, miserable, dirty world that Jesus came into. And when we look at the world today, in some ways, it's that same way because Jesus is simply missing. And so when we add Jesus into the element, we realize the insides matter as much as the outside. It's not enough that I don't say the bad words. I need to stop thinking the bad words. It's not enough that I don't punch you. I've got to stop even having those thoughts. I've got to control my insides. I've got to realize people are going to make an impression of the congregation. They're going to make an impression of Jesus Christ, an impression of faith and self by what they see in me. I may be the only Christian that somebody ever sees. What would they write about Christianity based upon me?
As we head into the weekend, you've got 10, 15 minutes. A great activity would be to sit down and just slowly, carefully, reverently read Matthew chapter 5. You will be well served by that. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. Lord willing, next Friday, we'll continue our look at this most amazing sermon in Matthew chapter 6. But we hope that today's episode has helped you set your mind on things above, given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.